Okay, so yesterday we talked a little bit about, or last week actually, so we talked a little bit about the Mishnah. First we talked a little bit about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Minhag Torah, the assumption that according to most we show it is Minhag Torah, the question of whether or not there is anybody who believes this Drabanan, position of Tosis and Sota, and things like that, the concept of the Shachbuch of Kumecha, the fact that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the daytime and the nighttime, and the Machlokas Rambam Rabban, whether this is one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, and how does the Zmanim play a role? How does Zmanim play a role? We mentioned the Kesef Mishnah's opinion. The Sosman Kriya Shema during the day is only the Rabbanan, and how that's argued by most. And leaving writing the Shulchan Aruch is only going to take you so far. That the Magen Avraham and the Taz explains that the difference between B'Shachbuch and Kumecha is a grammatical difference. The concepts are not interpreted the same way. And we assume Sosman Kriya Shema is probably Daraisa. And our Mishnah is really talking about Tchila Zman and Sof Zman and Kriya Shema of Arvis. And we discussed a little bit about the Siag, but I'll hold off reviewing that because we're going to get into that afterwards. What we were in the middle of when we left off was the major dispute between many Rishonim, particularly on our Daf, on the Daf itself, the dispute between Rashi and Tosfos. Concerning our practice, concerning the prevalent practice nowadays, the prevalent practice in the time of the Rishonim as well, to daven Ma'ariv early. And daven Ma'ariv early together with Kriya Shema. And the question is, how does that stem with our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah seems to state that the beginning of Kriya Shema is from the time of the Kohanim Truma, which the Gemara explains is equal to Seis HaKochavim. So from our Mishnah, we seem to have a straight out opinion that Kriya Shema only starts at Seis HaKochavim, and then there's a dispute as to when it ends. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but the beginning time seems to be agreed upon that starts at Seis HaKochavim. In the Gemara, there's a little bit of machlokes about that, but in the Mishnah, that's how it's presented. And that's how many Rishonim seem to be the case. So Rashi asks, if that's true, so how is it that we see people saying Kriya Shema in Shul when they daven Ma'ariv, just davening Ma'ariv with Kriya Shema before dark? So Rashi makes two assumptions. One assumption Rashi makes is that that Kriya Shema is not effective for the purposes of Kriya Shema. And then the question is going to be, so why do they bother? So they bother, as he quotes from Yerushalmi, in order to fulfill the goal of Kidei Laham Mitzvila Mitoch Devrei Torah. And it should have a role similar to Ashrei in Mincha, that we don't want to just jump into Shemona Esrei in the middle of nowhere. Rather, we want to have some type of a context that will focus us. And Ashrei serves that purpose at Mincha. And so the Kriya Shema that was said when it was too early, when it wasn't going to be Yotzei Mitzvah's Kriya Shema, serves at least that purpose. Hi.
Is
your
reason
the Sumerashi
that he's saying, why do you bother? Or if that's the question, is how
are
we allowed to?
Not to be agreed with,
to say the
brachas
for me as well.
I don't know if that's enough to mean that question. Meaning, how are we allowed to say the brachas? How are we allowed to say it with the brachas?
He says, what's the problem saying earlier? It must be that,
how are we allowed to make the brachas?
Right.
And that, and therefore the Yerushalmi is the mucker for that? That's what he's saying? And that justifies brachos?
That's
could be.
Why?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the impression I had, that you're saying that this is, the Miri says it up that way? So it could be. I mean, I would have assumed much like you're saying, that he's explaining why we do it, why are we bothering to say it. But, could be there's some factor there to explain the brachas also, but from what Rashi we have in front of us, it sounds like he's saying that the purpose is similar to Ashrei. Ashrei is also just a psukim without a bracha, and there the goal is to place a context for Shemona Esrei, and which, if you're more interested in this topic, is a long essay in the Sefer Kuntros Pnei Yeshua that we mentioned yesterday, and that that goal is fulfilled by Kriya Shema, even though it's not the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So one assumption Rashi is making, one position Rashi is taking, is that the Kriya Shema in Shul is not effective for mitzvah Kriya Shema. And the second assumption he's making is that the Kriya Shema that we do, right? The first assumption is a much less controversial one, because that's the one that is a very popular one among Rishonim. And popular one, halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, nowadays, we also assume that when we daven Ma'ariv early, We don't use that Kriya Shema to fulfill mitzvah's Kriya Shema. And we say Kriya Shema again after dark. We always make announcements in the shuls, and please repeat Kriya Shema after 9:26, whatever it is. So you go home and you repeat Kriya Shema. So if Rashi had just stopped there, that would only have been somewhat controversial. But Rashi's next line gets him into more hot water with Tosfos. Then Rashi says that it's Kriya Shema Hamita, that's what it is that does it. And Tosfos is very upset about both these assumptions. So on the assumption that it's Kriya Shema Hamita, so that alone he's got three questions on. Right, first of all, Kriya Shema Hamita is only one paragraph. So again, Rashi's aware of that. Rashi says that's what it is. So apparently Rashi is only concerned with fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa later. And the mitzvah d'rabbanan, because Rashi apparently is assuming that only the first paragraph of Kriya Shema is d'oraisa, so that's all we have to worry about getting this mana. And the d'rabbanan he's not as worried about. Well, Tosfos doesn't necessarily agree with Rashi about what's the d'oraisa, what's the d'rabbanan. But as we'll get into later, it's a big machlokas in Rishonim, what's the d'oraisa and not Kriya Shema, but Rashi seems to feel that way. Another issue that bothers Tosfos is the lack of brachos. Kriya Shema Hamita doesn't have brachos. And we mentioned last week that Rav Shechter in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi suggests that there's a little bit of a reflection here of a dispute, which maybe we'll get to later on, as to the nature of Berachos Kriya Shema. Is Berachos Kriya Shema something that is really part of Tefillah and follows the rules of Tefillah? And therefore, we're not concerned with the fact that Berachos Kriya Shema was done in a time that was only good for Tefillah, but not good for Kriya Shema? Or is Berachos Kriya Shema something that's more tied in with Tefillah itself? And that seems to be where Tosfos was coming from, that we seem to be worried, Tosfos seems to be worried that Berachos Kriya Shema should come along with Kriya Shema, and to say you're going to fulfill mitzvah's Kriya Shema in a context which doesn't have brachos is going to be more of a problem. Tosfos then also raises the issue that Kriya Shema Lamita is not even a real Kriya Shema for any real Kriya Shema purpose. It's only to protect from mazikin. It's to be some type of protection from damaging forces, whatever that means. And the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham was learning anyway, doesn't have to do it. And as the Nitziv explains in his commentary on the Shultis, apparently Tosfos is concerned that people won't even recite this Kriya Shema later on at night. And to say we're relying on that is difficult for that reason. And the last question of Tosfos, the fourth question of Tosfos, relates to the other assumption of Rashi as well. These three questions were all relating to only to the second assumption, that Kriya Shema Lamita is the main Kriya Shema. But the assumption that Rashi starts off with, that the Kriya Shema that we say in Shul early is no good, so Tosfos questions that as well. And Tosfos says it can't be. It can't be, because basically what you're saying then is that we daven Ma'ariv, and then we say Kriya Shema later. And again, whether you go so far as to say, like Rashi, there's Kriya Shema Lamita, or even if you say more conventionally that it's just Kriya Shema that you're going to recite after 9:26, in any event, what you have is a structure of Ma'ariv that is Shmona Esrei and then Kriya Shema. Apparently assuming there's no Smichas Ge'ul with Tefillah by Ma'ariv. And that happens to be a dispute in the Gemara, and we assume there is Smichas Ge'ul with Tefillah by Ma'ariv. So therefore, Rashi's suggestion is going to dispense with that, and that also is a concern for Tosfos. Hi.
Are you going to get into why exactly Tosfos would assume there's no Smichas Ge'ul with Tefillah if, as they describe, when they said Ma'ariv early, they started with Birkas Kriya Shema and A Kriya Shema and then Gal Yisrael, etc.,
I mean, even without a Kriya Shema, that's effective. You have it. So that I would like to push off a little bit, because I want to get more into Smichas Ge'ul Tefillah later on when the Gemara talks about it. So I'm probably not going to deal with it to your satisfaction now, but we'll talk about it a little bit. So basically, all of that pushes Tosfos into saying that, again, the other assumption of Rashi is also wrong. To say the Kriya Shema in Shul is no good is not true. Rather, the Kriya Shema in Shul is good. So how could that be? That brings us back to our first question. How could it be that the Kriya Shema in Shul is good if it's too early? So here, Tosfos gives us two approaches. On the one hand, we have three, On the other hand, you have Rabbeinu Tam. So the Ri's opinion, which does not seem to be the focal one in any discussion, is that it's not so pashut that Kriya Shema starts with Seisa Kochavim. Again, the Mishnah, that sounds pashut. But if you've gotten further, if you've done Beis Min Aleph, Beis Min Beis, so you see there are other opinions as to when Kriya Shema starts, more vague terminologies for what exactly is going on. So it could be that the Tchilas Man Kriya Shema is actually a little bit earlier. And therefore, the minhag that we see, that people are davening earlier, they're assuming that that's really when Kriya Shema starts. Now again, there are various difficulties with that. It's also just too precise to believe that's really what's going on. It doesn't seem to be that the early Meyers that we see nowadays, and probably not in the Zman HaRishonim either, were calibrated to correspond to these other opinions in the Gemara. So the more dominant, certainly in discussions, the more dominant opinion has been Rabbeinu Tam. Now, David pointed out to me that Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashir, in the Chidushim, also takes on Rashi, but doesn't say what he says here. It does not seem to be an agreement between the Rabbeinu Tam as he appears in the Sefer Yashar and the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar seems to be taking a very hard-line stance that you can't read Kriya Shema any earlier than Seisa Kochavim, and that's basically all there is to it. So how that stems with Rabbeinu Tam here, we're not really sure, but the Rabbeinu Tam that we have in Tosfos basically explains that the reason we're able to read Kriya Shema earlier is because of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the fourth parak of Brachas. There's a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim as to when Mincha ends. And according to Chachamim, Mincha goes until dark, then presumably is Ma'ariv. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, so Mincha goes until Chag. So apparently the fact that we're seeing Kriya Shema taking place while it's still light outside, that's because of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Mincha goes until Plag, and fill in the blanks, therefore apparently Ma'ariv and Kriya Shema start afterwards. Aye, but sometimes we'll see people davening Mincha after Plag, the same people davening Mincha after Plag. So that's not necessarily such a gefarlich situation, because the Gemara that talks about this Machlokas in the fourth parak, the Gemara has a very interesting statement there. The Gemara says that since we don't really paskin one way or another, the Gemara does not take a stand on Rabbi Yehuda versus Chachamim. So the phrase there is Hashtad lo yitmar hilchosa lo kemar velo kemar. Since we're not taking an absolute stand one way or another, da'avid kemar avid v'da'avid kemar avid. So you have license to do one way and you have license to do the other way as well. So apparently, it's not so terrible to see one day they're following Rabbi Yehuda and one day they're following Chachamim. What that means, we'll talk about that more at length. So there's a lot to discuss in Rabbeinu Tam's assumptions. Rabbeinu Tam's assumptions have been very controversial for a number of reasons. So first of all, to say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion would allow you to daven Ma'ariv and Kriya Shema after Plag HaMincha is far from a given. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Mincha. So we're not even sure that Ma'ariv is going to start right after Mincha. But even if it does, even if we were sure about that, so then Ma'ariv is a tefillah. So Ma'ariv is based on karbonos. Kriya Shema is working off a completely different system. Kriya Shema is working off a system of Shechiva and Kima. How does Rabbi Yehuda give us the license to say that Shechiva starts at Plag?
Doesn't Darshan and Usha?
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe that that's as part of Kriya Shema?
Because it says in Amidus.
That's how you could take, and therefore what? So therefore Kriya Shema is going to follow. It's going to follow Tefillah. It follows Yom and Laila.
Well, then how does Tefillah follow?
Right, so we have to understand a couple things here. So one way to say is like we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rishonim was like this also, that it could be that even those of us who do Darshan B'Shach B'cha can understand perhaps B'Shach B'cha as a nickname for nighttime and Kumecha as a nickname for daytime. And then we have to say even more than that, that apparently even from Plag HaMincha you could have a status of night. which we find for certain halachas. We find, as Rabbi Willig discusses in a Sefer on Brachos, you know, we find it for Sefiras HaOmer sometimes, we find it for Neiros Chanukah, we find that's the time when Tosefta Shabbos can start. So there is such a concept. So it could be that perhaps Kriya Shema is not really about Pesach Bucha according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe even according to Rishonim who do Darshan Pesach Bucha, and that therefore we're not worried about Pesach Bucha as Man Shriva as much as we're worried about Laila, and from Plag HaMincha on can have some status of at least quasi-Laila. David?
Do you remember your
Yehuda
coming out and start singing Shema Plag? Any other Yehuda coming out tonight?
I don't know. Have to look. Could be. The Beis Halevi has an interesting discussion about this whole point. The Beis Halevi is taking on an issue in a steer in the Rush. That he's taking on other points also, that the Rush over here, so Rabbeinu Tam brings a raya from Rav. The Gemara tells us in Daf Chav Zayin that Rav would daven Ma'ariv before it was dark. Apparently between Plag and dark, that's when Rav was davening Ma'ariv on Friday afternoon. That's the context of the Gemara. So apparently it's possible. He's presuming that there's Kriya Shema there. So the Rush over here says, well, how do you know that Rav was saying Kriya Shema? Maybe Rav holds like the opinion that there's no Smichas Geula Tefillah by Ma'ariv. So therefore maybe Rav was davening Ma'ariv after Plag and he was going to say Kriya Shema afterwards. So the Beis Halevi discussed the fact that in the fourth parak the Rush says something different. That on that Gemara about Rav, so the Rush there says the reason that Hitaka wasn't being so mechul l'tfilah because of the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. The mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos was more important for him to bring Ma'ariv early, daven Ma'ariv early, bring Shabbos in early. That was more important than smicha skul l'tfilah. So it's a question why the Rush gives a different explanation here than he does there. There's a lengthy discussion about this as well in the Sefer Taurus Rifal of Rafal Shapiro, another one of the Rashi Yeshiva and Velazhin. So this is apparently a topic in Velazhin. The Beis Halevi talks about it, Taurus Rifal talks about it. So in the context of this discussion, so the Beis Halevi explains that the Rush here is saying something different because the Rush here is only interested in dealing with Rabbeinu Tam's proof. Rabbeinu Tam wants to take the position that we see from Rav's davening that he was saying Kriya Shema. So the Rush here is just saying it's not so posh that he was saying Kriya Shema. Maybe he doesn't hold like Smichas Geula Tefillah.
Why does he have to answer anyway? Even Rashi would agree that Rav was supposed to say Kriya Shema because it's not that far with Tefillah.
Say it again, that even Rashi would
agree. Even Rashi would say that Rav had to say Kriya Shema early due to Yom because he always had to have Torah with Tefillah and Kriya Shema is the Torah. So I don't understand why it's a right after Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay, that's one of a number of questions you could ask about it. But just to focus on this one for a second. So the Beis Halevi explains that in the context of this reconciling these rushes, so he wants to explain why does Rabbeinu Tam assume that after Plag HaMincha begins Ma'ariv and Kriya Shema, why does Rabbi Yehuda's opinion necessarily tell us that Kriya Shema could start then? He says, because if you say like Chachamim, that mincha goes until dark. So the truth is, it wouldn't have necessarily been obvious that Ma'ariv starts immediately, because maybe mincha just ended because that's when the time of the korban ended. The Rabbi Yehuda, who says that mincha ends at Plag, that's the odd opinion. Why should mincha end at Plag? If we know the korban that mincha was based on went beyond Plag, so why should mincha end then? So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda must have been influenced to say that, because he's assuming that mincha and Ma'ariv can't be at the same time. So the fact that mincha stops at Plag must only be because Ma'ariv started already, and that's what knocks off mincha. And if we assume that there has to be smichas geula tefillah, which is what the Rashi was arguing on, so then how could it be that Ma'ariv's going to start then? It must be Ma'ariv started then because Kriya Shema could start then. So since Kriya Shema could start then, so Ma'ariv could start then, so Ma'ariv went in and knocked off Mincha. So that's how you work backwards to say that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Mincha ends a Plag can somehow be relevant to Kriya Shema starting then as well. Fine. But there's another issue that bothers many. Among them, the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh gets very upset about this Rabbeinu Tam. Shagatayi in Siman Gimel. He says, this can't be true. He says, Rabbeinu Tam wants to apply a statement in the Gemara. Hashdo Imar Hilchas Alo Kamar Velo Kamar, David Kamar Avid, David Kamar Avid. Rabbeinu Tam applies this to creation. What was the context in the Gemara? What was it talking about? It was talking about tefillah. Right, the question of when can you daven mincha, when can you daven ma'ariv? So the Gemara says you can do like either opinion. And Rabbeinu Tam says you see that by Kriya Shema also. So Shagas Ari says, how can you assume this is true by Kriya Shema? Tefillah is a drabbanan. So if tefillah is drabbanan, so safek drabbanan lakula. So we don't know whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Chachamim who are right. So therefore you have the right to assume like either opinion. But Kriya Shema doesn't have the same rules. Kriya Shema is Daraisa. So we have to be machmir. So how could Rabbeinu Tam apply this concept to Kriya Shema? And the Shagas Ari says, it must be from here that Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that Kriya Shema is Drabbanan. That's why he's applying the rule of Safek Drabbanan Lakula to Kriya Shema. And that's such a minority opinion, it's fairly viable. The overwhelming consensus among Rishonim is that Kriya Shema is Daraisa, as we discussed last week. So therefore, he rejects the whole Rabbeinu Tam for that reason. Okay, everyone following so far? So the question is there room to understand what Rabbeinu Tam is saying despite the Shagas Ari's objections? So how do we understand this Rabbeinu Tam in light of the fact that L'chor of the Shagas Ari is right, that the prevalent opinion seems to be a Kriya Shema is Daraisa? So therefore, how could we apply the Avid Kamar Avid with the Avid Kamar Avid? So there's a fascinating discussion about this in the Stipler's comments on Brachas, in the Stipler's essays on Brachas. In the first one, so he picks up on a difference, which if you look in the Rishonim, you see it's there, that exists between the Rush and the Meir. And it concerns the question of a Taita disaster. Right, Taita Desasre is literally two things that contradict each other. And in general, in halacha, we try to avoid doing things that are logically impossible, things that are conflicting, things that don't make sense together. So that's a Taita Desasre, and we try to avoid that. So how does that relate to our question of Mincha and Ma'ariv? And we see when we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mincha goes till Plag, and according to Chachamim, Mincha goes till dark, So I can hold like whichever one. But what if I want to switch back and forth? Right, so let's say I want to today daven mincha after plag, and tomorrow, like that's like chachamim, and tomorrow I want to daven ma'ariv after plag, like Rabbi Yehuda. Is that a valid approach? Is that a tired to the sasra? Or let's say, even worse than that, I want to do them both on the same day. Today, between plag and mincha, I want to do it to plag and dark. I want to daven both mincha and ma'ariv. Right? And that is the prevalent opinion seems to be that is contradictory in nature, that's a tarta disaster. And that's why shuls try to coordinate when you daven ma'ariv early to try to daven after plag. It's possible. It's not possible that Rishon, who also found ways that it's not the worst thing in the world, but in theory, we try to avoid that because it seems to be a tarta disaster. What if I want to switch from day to day? Now, what if today I want to daven mincha after plag, and tomorrow I want to daven ma'ariv after plag? So the minhag olam seems to not have a problem with this. Right? Minhag olam people seem to do whatever fits on that day. But how does that? What were the views of Rishonim on this topic? So the Stipler suggests that it depends whether you hold like the Rush or the Meir. Because the whole concept of the Tarta Desasre, so the Rush in the first parak over here, the first Rush in Aleph Aleph, compares the situation to one case, and the Meiri in the fourth parak on Daf Chav Zayin compares it to a different case in Shas. And as the Stipler points out, and you can see in the words of the Meiri at least also, that the cases they use to illustrate this point are very relevant to this question. The Stipler makes reference to a Gemara in Erevin, and Zion. That there the Gemara has a dispute between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the topic of Shedra v'Golgolas. And a shedger of a golas is a spine and a skull of an animal. And the dispute there is the question of what makes a spine defective. If a spine is missing one vertebrae, is it considered defective? Or does it have to be missing two? So what difference does it make? It has two nafkaminas. It has a nafkamina l'inyan treifus. If the spine is defective, so the animal is treif, it's not going to be kosher. And it also has a nafkamina l'inyan tuma. That if it's defective, it's not going to be metame. So these two nafkaminas go in different directions. Because the treifus nafkamina is l'chomer if it ends up being treif. But it's l'kula if it ends up being not metame. The same status will make it either treif and not metame, or kosher and metame. So there's no kula or chumra opinion here. Because one opinion will be a kula for one purpose, and a chumra for the other purpose, and the other opinion will be flipped. Everyone follow that? Yes? So there's a dispute between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, which way you say. And the Gemara happens to prefer Beis Hillel. But the Gemara says that you have the right to paskin like Beis Shammai. That's also legitimate. But what's not legitimate, says the Gemara, is to take the kulas of both or the chumras of both. So the kulas of both, the Gemara says, that's rishus, that's not a good thing to do. And the chumras of both, the Gemara says, that's foolishness. That's a pasuk sil b'choshech cholech. A fool walks around in the dark, he doesn't know what to do. So too, if you take the chumras of both, you sound frum, but you're really doing something that doesn't make any sense. So that's not recommended either. So you have four options. One's great, one's good, and two are bad. Right? Paskin like Beis Hillel, says the Gemara, that's the way to go. Beis Shammai is also legitimate, we'll accept that. But to take both chumras, that's foolish. And to take both kulas, that's bad. So the Rush quotes this Gemara in discussing the whole Tartu d'Sasrei situation. Now, the Meiri makes reference to a different case. Meiri makes reference to a Mishnah in Taras, which is also quoted in the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Yud. This is the case of Shnei Shvil. The situation is, let's say, Shnei Shvil means two paths. So let's say I have two ways of getting somewhere. I have road A and road B. And I know that there's tuma on one of these roads. But I don't know which one. So I take path A, and I come to the rabbi, and I said, listen, I walked on path A, I want to know if I'm Tamei or Tar, because it could be one of his roads, I don't know which one. So the rule is, the rabbi has the right to say I'm Tar. Because the principle is, Safik Tumah versus HaRabim is Tar. So therefore, he has the right to say it's a Safik, and it's a situation of versus HaRabim. So therefore, we pass in your Tar. It's okay. So fine, that's pretty straightforward. But the Mechudish part is, that if the next day, my friend comes down path B. So now we know that one of us is Tame. Between the two of us, we've covered both roads. Nonetheless, when person B, the guy, my friend who went on road B, goes to the same rabbi and asks him, am I Tame or Tar? This rabbi who knows that one of the two people he spoke to has got to be Tame, still has the right to say to the second guy, Safik Tuma Bershut HaRabim is Tar. Even though it's functionally impossible. Now, why is that true? It sounds like a contradiction. It's true because that's the way Sfeikas work. Sfeikas work, when we apply a rule of Sfeik Rabbanim Lakula, or Sfeik Tumah Bershus HaRabim, it doesn't mean that we think it's true what we're saying. It means that the rules of Sfeikas have certain rules of behavior. And if it's a Sfeik, the Reis L'chumra means we have to act in a stringent way, and if it's suffering through a bun and lakula, means we have the right to act in a lenient way. It doesn't mean we think that the lenient way is true. So the fact that I know it's not true, the fact that the rabbi knows it's not true when he tells both guys in sum total that they're both tar, he knows they can't both be tar. It doesn't matter. The rules of suffering means he has the right to tell each one to behave in a way that assumes they're tar. Now the only problem is if they come together. If they come together and they say, Rabbi, we together have covered both paths between us, so are we both Tara? So then that's too much. Right? That's too in your face, this contradiction. So then the Mishnah says that then he can't tell them both tar. What exactly to say, you have to figure out, but he can't tell them they're both tar. So truth is, logically, you could say it's just as true. Right? If we know it wasn't true in the first case, so why is this any worse? And in fact, Tosafos in Pesachim and Daf Yud says, the truth is, it's only a din d'rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, you could still tell them both, that they're both tar. Parenthetically, one could suggest the difference is that when I come the first day, and I ask him, my Tarmei or my Torah, and my friend comes the second day, so both of us are asking yes or no questions. So Safik Lakula, he can tell us both Lakula. But when we come together, it's no longer a yes or no question, it's a which one question. And if it's a which one question, there is no real Kula here. We know there's Tumah somewhere, we know there's Tumah somewhere, we don't know where it is, so then there's no real Kula. So then that could be the reason why there's a difference if we come together and if we come separately. But for whatever it is, so there is this distinction between coming separately and coming together. So the Meiri writes, if I want to daven Mincha and Ma'ariv on the same day, in the same time, as we said, that's considered to be, the prevalent opinion is that that's really a Tarta Desas, right? Says that's comparable to two people coming to the rabbi at the same time and saying, I took path A and I took path B, what's the story? Just as in that case, the rabbi can't tell them both, they're both tar, so to here, that's too much. You can't do both in the same time zone. So the Stipler says, when we want to look about the question about switching from day to day, so if you look at the different examples in the Rush and the Iri, you see a very different way of thinking. That the Rush is quoting a case of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai's machlokas about Shedrin and Magolas. And the Gemara is saying, you can paskin like Beis Hillel, you can paskin like Beis Shammai, just be consistent. So how does the Rush understand the phrase, David Kamar Aviv, David Kamar Aviv? He understands it to be a rule of psak. That the Gemara is telling you, pick up psak. And once you pick up psak, so then you stick with it. You assume that this is real. And therefore, that's what you're supposed to be consistent with. So if you have the right to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or you have the right to paskin like Chachamim. But once you paskin like one of them, it means you believe that they're right. So therefore, for you to switch from day to day in the understanding of the Rush probably wouldn't be such a great process. But the Meiri isn't talking about Psak. The Meiri quotes a case about Safek Tumah. The Meiri is understanding this phrase as being one reflecting rules of Sfeikas. So therefore, for me to switch, the Safek Lakula means I can do one thing today because it's a Kula, and one thing tomorrow because it's a Kula, and the fact that they contradict each other doesn't matter, because the rules of Safek Drabbanan Lakula doesn't mean I think it's true. It means I have the right to act Lakula in these situations. So the fact that one day to another may contradict each other is not going to bother us. It's just when we do it together, then that's too much. That's like the two guys with the two paths coming to the rabbi at the same time. But to switch from day to day is not going to be a problem. Hi.
So according to what Yazan was saying about in the Meiri, you have to pick one thing for your whole life, which are the paths. And then,
yeah, according to Rush, it would sound like that.
According to Rush.
Again, prevalent meaning does not seem to be that way, but that's sounds like according to analysis, that would be the Rush's opinion. You could change your mind in your life, but you know that to go back and forth from day to day based on convenience wouldn't really be so appropriate. But the Minig Olam seems to be more like the way the Stipler's been saying the Meiri, that this is not a function of Psak, it's a function of Safek Lakula, and then you could vary from day to day.
The Gemara in Erevin is saying you have to pick some Beis Shammai.
So the Gemara, right. The Gemara in Erevin is saying pick a consistent view of who's right. And once you think Beis Hillel is right, so don't say tomorrow do you think Beis Shammai is right. Or don't think, when the Shaila is about Kashrus, say do you think Beis Hillel is right, but when it becomes about Taurus, then all of a sudden Beis Shammai is right. That's wrong. You have the right to either opinion, but once you take an opinion, follow it through however it's going to affect, whatever area of Halacha is going to affect. Yeah, it's,
how clear is it exactly what the Gemara and Erevin is saying? Like, if you have 10 animals with a spinal problem, can you decide each one differently? Is it clear what the Gemara's position on that would be?
It's interesting. There is a distinction about that, which I'm going to get to in a few minutes, but it sounds like from the Gemara that you're supposed to pick one consistent view about what qualifies. Although that point you're raising is something that I want to get to in a few minutes. In a slightly different context. Okay, So now let's plug that back into our Tosfos. So if you plug that back into our Tosfos, so we can defend Rabbeinu Tam against the Shagas Aryeh's concern. That the Shagas Aryeh is saying, how could Rabbeinu Tam apply the Ovid Kamar Ovid to Kriya Shma? I Kriya Shma is the Raisa, why would you say Suffolk Rabbanim Lechul? So perhaps Rabbeinu Tam isn't understanding the Ovid Kamar as a principle of Suffolk. Perhaps he's understanding it as a principle of Psak. You have the right to paskin, you have the right to believe that either a Yehuda or a Chacham is right, and to act accordingly. And if that's true, such a logic could apply not only to the Rabbans, but to the Raises as well. And a similar point is brought out, if you look in the back of the Gemara somewhere, there is a Chidushim from Rabbi Yehuda Bachar. And his understanding, he comments on this Shagas Aryeh and this Rabbeinu Tam, and he seems to take that position that no, it's not a problem of Suffolk Lekula, because he's talking about Psak, and Psak, you have the right, even when it comes to the Raisa. If the Gemara tells you have a right, so you have the right. But when it comes to but Shagas Aryeh is assuming that no, that the Gemara is talking about Sfeikis, and that's why it allows us to paskin whichever way we want in Hilchos Tefillah. But in Hilchos Kriya Shma, you couldn't necessarily assume the same. Hi.
Before there should be some middle ground, right?
The only problem that the Meiri would have. I mean, you're saying based on the Meiri, the only problem.
I think those themselves, yes, the question with the problems of closing the Tom is hard to say between different days. It's very clear when it's open to Tom that we're talking about Dami and Meir and Mamma Shapai, which means only after Tartasas is Dami and after Meir, which is funny whether that happens. So these are the questions we ask.
You only have Tartasas if you daven Mincha.
See, the only case which where Tom is saying that one should do, which shows his body by it, to have Mincha on one day after Pai and Meir another day before.
Right.
So, I mean, the only real question of your time is between days.
Mm-hmm.
Your time never said it happened on the same day. Because what if we do that, we're going to depend on your time within 2 days.
Imagine.
That should mean that someone called the Meiri, the Meiri now, your time would be fully dependent against this problem. You know, it's only about that disaster on a single day.
But if a Meiri time says like the Meiri, that means he's saying something.
Right, which means if somebody has comments about the middle of the ground, you can see it from the side at the same time. It's not a problem with your days.
Hard,
it's hard. You go through a truly lengthy rush, mm-hmm. But in time, they have a question,
interesting point. Okay, that's kind of the middle. It's harder to say, though, if you say it's beside, it's harder to say that you can switch from day to day. Right, so then now let's get into that. So now, even the Rishonim who were worried about the Tarta V'Sasre do throw in the fact that for Tefillah, there is apparently a more makel attitude. And in general, so, Nassim Gishtetner in his Chuvis, Chuvis Laharis Nassim, so he wants to suggest 2 reasons why it is that we take this more lenient approach, at least in this case, than other Tarta V'Sasres. So one reason he suggests is because when we're worried about Tartarus Asrays, it's normally because a Tartarus Asrays, especially Tartarus Asrays Lakula, even though just looking at Aaron and says we don't want a Tartarus Asrays Lakula either, but a Tartarus Asrays Lakula, we're normally more concerned when it means that you're going to get yourself out of an obligation. Or you're going to do some Isser or do some something wrong because of the Tartarus Asrays. But here, the Tartarus Asrays has a logical issue with it. But you still end up performing all the mitzvahs. It's not like you don't do a tarta v'sasre, it's going to get you off the hook somehow. So since the mice at the end of the day, you're going to, it's not a tarta v'sasre, it's really going to get you off the hook. So therefore, it's not as much of a concern as other tarta v'sasre. No, I'm sure he's not the first person to say that, but I'm saying that's one suggestion that's
not.
The Ryan Megillah by Yudal in the Tesbah. Right, so there the situation is, let's say if I don't know where I live, well, the Gemara, the Ran Megillah was talking about a Suffolk, a city that's a Suffolk.
Or else you're
Well, the Ran is talking. I think the Ran that you're saying is talking about the cities of Safed. In general, that's a more complicated thing, which I'm not going to bring in right now. But in general, that's one possibility. That since the Tarat of Sasri doesn't take you out of the Chiyuv, so that's less of a problem. It says also here, in general, if you're somebody who has to paskin an issue, and you have a logical point that will take you in one direction, so to follow a contradictory direction, that's a tarat of Sasri. But since the Gemara says you have the right to do whichever one you want, so therefore you're not doing it because you've decided this is the logic behind the issue, you're doing it because the Gemara gives you that license. So therefore that's another reason why Tarat of Sasra is less of a concern here. No, the fact is Chazal have already paskin that you have the right to do it this way. So it's not like I'm approaching an issue in Hilchos Kashrus and I then apply a psak in two contradictory ways. We're following the fact that Gemara says you have the right to do it this way. It happens because there's an interesting comment in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav, that fits in with that. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav is the Talmud of Avi Nezer, has many creative comments in his Tshuvas. So here's a very interesting one. In this light, he says there is a, and this relates to what David brought up, that there is a ritva in Yevamos and Daf Yudalet. That the ritva says that even though normally there's a rules of consistency in psak, and there may be rules or whatever rule applies in how to paskin, if there's a machlokus, and the rule tells you you would paskin whatever way, but nonetheless, let's say the machlokus originally took place over a certain piece of meat. Right, two Rishonim were arguing over a certain piece of meat. And now, years later, so we want to know how to apply their positions halacha l'maaseh. So we want to know how to apply their positions, so we have rules of how to paskin, whatever the rules are. But that original piece of meat, if you go back in time, that original piece of meat, so the fact that somebody was making, or somebody was matzah this piece of meat, you're allowed to eat that piece of meat even against the rules of psak, because there's a heter on this piece of meat from the fact that whichever substantial chacham was involved allowed it. And it's only later shailas you want to apply based on the same principle that you're forced to follow the rules. But within the original issue that was the original actual chepsa that was paskin on, so the fact that whoever it was, the Rebbeinu Tam, was matir it, allows you to eat. That's the way the Ritva understands. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes to Zmanim, so there is a Mishnah Melach, I think in Hilchos Ishus, that says that all the Zmanim that we have, every Tesach Kochavim and every Plaga Mincha that we have, is all the same cycle going back to Bria Sa'olam. That the world is going on the same cycle all the time. So therefore, when it comes to Zmanim, so the Plaga Mincha that we have today is the same Plaga Mincha that Rabbi Yehuda paskened on. It's as if we have the same cow that was argued about by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and therefore we have the right when it comes to Zmanim to paskin either way, to paskin the Heter, even though the rules of Psak may indicate otherwise. It's a very creative approach. Again, question how far you want to take that, but it's an interesting thought. Okay, in any case, so there's a lot of there's a lot to say about this toast. This is just tip of the iceberg of some of the themes that come up, and some other themes we'll get up to as they come up. I said last time I'd like to discuss a little bit the concept of the siag. So there are a number of high.
Last time you mentioned the issue that to be equated, your own with the
Kima. Right.
So looking at the different
angles,
is there anyone that would go that far?
Go that far as to say that what? That it's a question. With that, maybe there are Gemaras that we'll get to more discuss this. It seems to be that there are Rishonim who do. It's a question, for example, how to understand the Rambam. The Rambam says that that Kriya Shema should be done when you're Shochev and when you're Kam, and Shchiva Zohi Laila, Kima Zohu Yom. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's understanding that really the Chiyuv is Shchiva, and just that maisa is defined as night, which I think is one way to read it. I think you can read it that he's saying it's really Shchiva and Kima, it just happens to be practically that means night and day. Or I think the way Rabbi Willig suggests in his sefer is that really he's he's saying the other way. That that basically the Torah is telling you not yet, and just the Torah uses the word shchiv and kima in order to get it that. And he relates this to a Rashba, the Rashba and Avches and Mebeis, which maybe we'll get to when we get to that sugya, where the Rashba seems to say like that, that really it's night and day that's really the establishing point, and it's just the lashon of shchiv and kima that gives us some guidelines within those contexts.
You can make those assumptions, and maybe it sounds a lot easier.
Right. That's right. That's true. When a time then is not bound to defining shchiva as sleeping time, and therefore if we make night earlier, make night for Plaga Menucha, right, then that works a little better. That's really, and that's where one of the things where I will suggest in that piece, that seems to be the way Benatam is working. Okay, so what about this Xeru? So the Mishnah tells us that really Kriyashma could be all night according to Rabban Gamliel, seems to be the more dominant position. And Chacham disagreed, it's only because of Xeru. Chacham said Kriyashma should be only until Chatzos. A couple of interesting points about this gezeira, just to mention, and I'll probably have to continue this tomorrow, that we go to 2:15, is that what we asked? What time? Sorry? Until? 2, okay, so if I have to do most of this tomorrow, but just touch on some points. So, first of all, so, we mentioned already yesterday, it's a little bit surprising, the idea of the gezeira by an assay. And we discussed a little bit, again last week, whatever it was, we discussed a little bit back and forth whether or not that's such a prevalent concept to have a gzera by an assay. Gzera is normally associated by the fear of violating a los assay. And as the Prima Gaudim points out, that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, Mishmarti, Mishmarti, Vasisim, Mishmeris, Mishmarti, that the idea of gzera is to make a Mishmeris to a Mishmeris. Mishmeris is a lashon of a law. The Torah says, Yishamer is a prohibition. So when you have a prohibition, so there's an Indian of making a gzera for it. So the idea of exeria for an assay is surprising. And the truth is, we mentioned last time how some explain it has to do with the centrality of Kriyashma in life, but it happens to be that not all Rishonim really even agree that there is exeria. And the Gemara actually says later on, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. And many Rishonim state explicitly, as the Rush states in the first parak of Brachos, and as the Tur says also in Reish Lamed Hei, that l'chachila, they spell out l'chachila, you can say kriyashma all night. They do mention that there is, it's a separate din, that you're not supposed to be eating before you perform certain mitzvahs and kriyashma among them. So in theory, you're not really supposed to have dinner, but if you're going to have dinner very late, and you want to push off kriyashma as well, as long as you make sure not to either be eating significantly or undertaking any major projects, then in theory, l'chachila, you can delay kriyashma all night. So it happens to be a dispute in Rishonim whether or not this Xeru even exists, because the Rambam does recognize it. And the Beis Yosef tries to explain how the Rambam deals with the Lashon HaGemara, because Gemara later on says the Lachas like Rabban Gamliel. But many Rishonim were of the opinion, that the Rush among them, that the Xeru doesn't really exist. And the question is, as the Beis Halevi discusses in a Tshuva, in Siman Lamed Daled, that the Rush in Pesachim does suggest Xeru for matzah. You know, we, because of Afikoman issues and because of other issues, so we assume that you're supposed to eat matzah the first night of Pesach before Chatzos. This is actually a machlokas for Bekivan and Belazer. And the Rush in the end of Pesachim, the last parak of Pesachim, the entire Yud and Semel Namel Ches, so the Rush suggests that the halacha really is like Rabbi Elazar, that it should be until Chatzos. But then he says, even Rabbi Akiva says all night, probably would also recommend doing it before Chatzos. So the question is, how come he doesn't endorse the Xeru here if you endorse the Xeru by Matzah? So basically, Levi suggests that Matzah is more dangerous because we see from later on in the Gemara that Kriyashma in theory you could do after Alos, to the Abbot, Shasad Chai. And Matzah, after the daytime comes, after Alos comes, is going to be gone. So that's more of a concern. And the flip side he discusses is the Rambam. The Rambam recognizes Xeru here, but doesn't seem to recognize Xeru, doesn't mention Xeru by Matzah. So then why not? So why? The Rush apparently has more of Xeru by Matzah than by Kriyashma. And the Rambam has more of Xeru by Kriyashma than by matzah. So why is that? So the Beis Halevi explains the reason the Rambam is going to take Kriyat Shema as more of a concern than matzah is because Kriyat Shema is every day. So every day people are going to be in this rashal. But matzah is such a big deal one time a year, so we're not, or twice a year, midravana, so we're not so worried that people are gonna forget about matzah. Kriyat Shema every day, so people are less on top of. That's, so this question of whether or not this gzeira is true is one of the many machlokas that come out of this. One of the many machlokas that come out of this mishnah. It's another one we'll probably get to tomorrow. But before that, just to mention a side one. So what about hekter chalav and beivarim? So the gemara goes on to talk about the burning of the fats and the limbs and the mizbeach. So the impression you have from reading the mishnah is that there was going to be a gzeira there also, because that's the way the words flow. Right, the Rebbe Gamliel says that no, the Chachamim who say Achatzos, really they agree with me, but they made Gzeirah so we shouldn't mess up. Just like everything else, like Hekta Cholom Devar. So the impression is, reading the words, is that there's Gzeirah by Hekta Cholom Devarim also. But Rashi sounds not that way. Rashi says that this Rashi Kidei Laharchik, so Rashi says, Hekta Cholom Diksani Hachal Lo Yomer Bochum Achatzos Klam. This sounds like there's no Gzeirah. And the Rambam, Hilchos Maaser Karbanis and Paradala, does mention Gzeirah. So apparently there's a dispute between Rashi and the Rambam as to whether or not this is exerted by burning the fats in the limbs. So there are different mahalchim on this point. One mahalach that's found in a number of svarim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichron Levrach, in his Chidushim of Yerum and Shas, I think this might be the first piece in the first volume of the Chidushim of Yerum and Shas. So he has a suggestion that Reuven Margolius also makes. Reuven Margolius is well known for a number of svarim. But on Gemara, he's most well known for Magolia Sayan on Sanhedrin. But there's another thinner volume where he has a little bit on all the other Masechtas. It's called Nitzotze Or. So the beginning of the Nitzotze Or on Brachos. So Rebbe Magolia says the same thing, at least in structure. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that the reason Rashi feels that there's not going to be a Gezeru is because of a comment of the Taz. Not that Rashi was influenced by the Taz, he lived much later, but it's because Rashi is in agreement with something the Taz made famous. That the Taz has a principle that he appears in a number of places throughout the Taz. And David Cohen has an essay about this in which he says that this Taz is so famous that if you just mention the Taz, Stam, you're talking about this Taz. That this Taz says that Chazal did not have the authority, apparently, to Aser something that the Torah was matir explicitly. If the Torah, Chazal prohibited things that are not prohibited by the Torah. But if the Torah says you can do something, so then Chazal didn't prohibit that.
Where is this Taz?
This Taz is in the first Siman in Choshen Mishpat, it's in Yerideo also, and it's in Arachayim as well. Exact places I can tell you later. Right, the first Siman in Choshen Mishpat, and it's in three places. I can tell you exact places later.
What about Yivam?
Sorry?
Yivam. Why today wouldn't we do Yivam?
Is this about Yivam?
No, why wouldn't we do Yivam according to that Taz?
Why wouldn't we do Yivam? You see, if Yivam... Well, we don't necessarily have the Gezeri. The problem, the reason we're afraid of Yivam is because we're afraid of the opinion of Abba Shaul that maybe it's not really Yivam. That there's one opinion in the Gemara that that if your Kavanas aren't proper, then Yivam isn't even going to be a mitzvah. It's going to be a Sirkaris. That's what we're afraid of. So that Abba Shalom stands the way, that's what the Torah meant. But if the Torah specifically says something is mutter, so then according to the Taz, we don't ask that. So when it comes to the when it comes to this Haktaris, the Torah says it's there all night. So therefore, Rashi perhaps is worried about this. Rashi says, so therefore you're not going to have the Gezeirah to tell you not to do it. So both Reuven Margolius and Lubavitcher Rebbe, both of them raise the point that chances are the Rambam agrees with it. The Rais and Rambam agrees. They both have different approaches to discuss why there would be a difference between the Rambam and Rashi on this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests that the reason the difference between Rambam and Rashi is the Rambam holds from a different version of this theory. And the Rambam holds that there's two aspects here. There's the mitzvah to consume the to consume all the parts of the korban, which has certain halachas, l'chadchila. And then there's the isser of leaving them around until morning, which is an isser of nosa. So as far as the part that they can't make a gzeira about, that's as far as the isser is concerned. But the mitzvah they could make a gzeira about, so therefore the mitzvah they could tell you to do earlier. We're not going into all the details about that, it's kind of a side point. But that's how you distinguish between the way the Rambam would understand it and the way Rashi understands it. The Beis Halevi says a very different way. The Beis Halevi denies there's a machlokas here. The Beis Halevi says that Rashi really does agree that there's a gzeru. Because Rashi actually splits. He says a very precise diuk in Rashi. The Rashi says that the chalavim, there's no gzeru. He says the evarim, there is. Rabbi says the evarim, that's talking about ola. And the chalavim, that's the karbanas that are eaten. So the by when it comes to the chalavim, so there was already a gzeira in the, there was already a gzeira in the Torah, because ideally these karbanas are supposed to be finished off before the tamid, and the tamid was done still when it was daytime. So the Torah already the chachila wanted you to do them before the tamid, and it's only b'di'evid that if it's not if it's ready for Akhtara but it's not actually burnt, so then that could be burnt during the nighttime. So there's no need for the Torah to make an extra gzeira for that. There's no need for Chazal to make an extra gzeira because the Torah already made a gzeira. The Torah already said the chachila should be done during the daytime. So it's only by the Ivarim, by an Ola that it's shy to make a gzeira, and that's what Rashi meant. That by Chalavim there's no gzeira, but by Ivarim there is a gzeira. Okay, fine. So that's another side machlokis that's in this Mishnah. But the big one that we'll have to discuss more tomorrow, already a few minutes over time, is Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? And this is, he calls Machlokas Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, that Rabbeinu Yonah says, according to Chachamim, that Chachamim made a gzera not to read Kriya Shema after Chatzos, so Chachamim basically canceled out the mitzvah after Chatzos. Which means that if it's now after Chatzos, and say, well, I didn't read Kriya Shema, what should I do? So according to Rabbeinu Yonah in Chachamim, that's it, it's over. It's a very surprising comment. Because as it is, the whole Gezerah is a little mechudish, a Gezerah to protect an Aseh. And here to say a Gezerah that's going to go so far that we're going to take away the Aseh from you tonight so that you shouldn't mess up, will cancel out the same mitzvahs that you shouldn't mess up this mitzvah, is a very unusual position. It's explicit in the Rambam not that way. The Rambam who does hold from the Gzeru, but the Rambam says that the Chachila you should do it before Chatzos, but afterwards you can still do it. And Rabbeinu Yonah says in Chachamim, that's not true. So what exactly is going on there? There's a lot to say about, so Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to that. And there's a lot to say. Hi. Sorry? Right.
So what would be the purpose of the dinim of the mission?
Right, so that's something the Beis Halevi tries to explain also, because it's difficult otherwise. Why is Hector Chalav? That's one of the glaring issues with Rashi. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the whole point is being brought in is to say that there is a gzera. I mean, it would fit with the second half, that the kol nechalim liyom elcha mitzvasa nashalom l'shachar, but the way it's phrased, it sounds like it's separating two different categories. That's one of the glaring problems with the Rashi, which the Beis Halevi also has a way to try to work out. But simple language of the Mishnah seems to indicate that there is a gzera. Right. The Beis Halevi has a way to try to make Rashi work with the Mishnah, but it's really in defense of Rashi. Reading the Mishnah straight sounds more like a no question. So tomorrow we'll discuss how this Rabbeinu Yonah plays a role in a couple of things. Okay, Shkara.
Question. So,